Thank you, Steve. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. As always, if you want to participate at any point during the show, we're 312-981-7200. We would love to hear from you. It goes without saying that there was a lot to process yesterday. All throughout the show, more and more details were coming across about the death of this little boy, AJ Friend. We've asked Ryan Burrow to join us to talk about some of what we learned
new
yesterday.
New developments, too.
A lot of new developments.
I need to know.
Yeah.
I need to know every ounce of information there is.
I have a feeling that when you find out this information, you're going to wish you hadn't heard.
It's unpleasant.
Oh, no.
That's incredibly unpleasant.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we were, right? We wanted to find out where this boy was, and then when we found out the hard reality and the hard news about the way his body was found, where it was found, and that the parents were the ones who have been charged in his murder, I don't think that made anyone feel good at all, did it?
But I think we expected that. It didn't make it any easier once
it came to
fruition.
I was talking with residents who were in the press conference yesterday. I mean, literally weeping after finding this out and wondering how they can go home and tell their kids, who have obviously been very interested to find out what happened to AJ.
Yeah.
You know, how do you go about telling them now that this is what happened, this is where he was found, and you know, it's tough for everyone. Today, bond hearing for both Joanne Cunningham as well as Andrew Friend Sr., the two parents. Both the bond set at $5 million apiece for them. Did get a little bit more from prosecutors today, who said that prior to his death, AJ was put into a cold shower and he was beaten. We are still awaiting the official autopsy, which is being conducted today on the boy. We don't have a cause of death yet, but all indications lead to the boy being beaten as a pretty good likelihood.
Ryan, you get the sense that police all along believed it to be his parents, right? There was no reason to believe otherwise.
We did, for a few reasons. Number one, Amber Alert never issued. They never believed that he was abducted in any way. Number two, canine units swept around that home did not believe he wandered away. Number three, they continue to tell us that the home was the focal point. And number four, that the last people who saw him, which we believed were the parents, were the ones who they wanted to get the most information from.
This just rips your heart out when you think about it. And you mention kids in the area. I mean, they're supposed to trust their parents.
Yeah.
It's just a terrible... These two little girls, Harper and Branley Wright, went with their mother to the Crystal Lake Police Headquarters to deliver snacks for the police officers. They worked incredibly hard, and one of the girls said, "We just felt we could give the officers a little bit of snack because they've worked hard trying to find that little boy who was missing." So what does the mom explain to those little girls about what happened?
Yeah. That's the tough part.
Police in the area, Ryan, never really beefed up security, never said to the community around the area, "Hey, we really have to be careful right now. There's a kidnapper or murderer on the loose." That never happened.
They never did. And there's something covering a bunch of these stories now. Usually when a child goes missing, I mean, you throw up all the sirens. Police are out in front of microphones talking, giving descriptions, anything that anyone saw. That was never the case here. We got press releases. The police never really stood in front of the cameras until yesterday. Usually parents are out there, family members, some spokesperson. And outside of a couple little, opportunities in front of the home, we never really got that from parents. So things were definitely a little bit different than in other situations we've seen where a child has gone missing.
What about that moment or moments where the parents make a plea, where the father goes on television and says, "You're not in any trouble, AJ, come home"? How awful is that?
Yeah, especially, I mean, almost immediately after we saw that, after the father had come out and said that, the police said, "We do not believe that the boy wandered away." So, it was very, very interesting, the timing of all of that and whether or not it was genuine. That being said, I do want to take a step back, and we don't know what any of our emotional reactions would be in this case. Some people are, I would be like this, I would be like that. Some people are different. And so, you try to rush to judgment as quickly, but now that you can kind of see things a little bit sharper, things are starting to line up a little bit and make a little bit more sense.
What role does... Wendy and I talked about this yesterday on the stream for quite a while. You were not a part of this, so I want your take on this. What role, if any, what blame, if any, goes to the office of DCFS?
Yeah, they released a statement. I'll have to pull that up in just a little bit. But yeah, I mean, they're obviously heartbroken, I believe was one of the words that was used, and they're going to take a look at this and see what they could have done better. DCFS obviously was aware of this family. There had been wellness checkups. We know that the boy had been born with drugs in his system. We know about the multiple pages of police encounters. That being said, at that police encounter where police entered the home and it smelled of urine and there was dog feces and broken windows and the power was out, the report said that the boys appeared to be happy and healthy. You know, obviously you don't want to start ripping kids out of situations where the kids are fine. You know, you just hope that, well, maybe, you know, they're just kind of falling on some hard times. But you know, in that situation, when you step back and take a look at it now, boy, you know, things could have changed a little bit if they would have maybe intervened a little bit more during those last checkups.
And I'm sure those DCFS workers feel not responsible, but wish there was more they could do. Some woman called John Williams' show yesterday, who was like a DCFS worker in Iowa, I believe, DHS is what it's called. And she was just saying that, you know, you have to take all things into consideration. And there are laws preventing these DCFS workers from just coming in and taking the child away.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
I imagine that there are plenty of stages that need to you go through during the process, but maybe it's time to look at that process.
Well, and they are. DCFS is being completely overhauled right now. There's a new head of the department. I know there's some new training that's going on here in Chicago because, you know, these kind of situations are one form. You've got custody battles. You've got, you know, drugs that are involved. And you know, every one of these officers who comes into these situations is coming into something completely different.
Yeah.
So, it's very difficult. Here's the statement, by the way. After nearly a week-long search for missing Andrew A.J. Friend, law enforcement officials confirming his death. This news is heartbreaking. Protecting vulnerable children who come to our attention is at the core of our mission at DCFS. All of us feel this loss. Our priority is the care and safety of Andrew's younger sibling. Remember, there's still a three-year-old who right now is in protective custody. And of course, she's got that seven-month pregnancy she's in the middle of right now while she's behind bars. We will continue to cooperate with law enforcement, their ongoing investigation. The department is committed to conducting a comprehensive review of the entirety of our work with Andrew's family to understand our shortcomings and to be fully transparent with the public on any steps that we are taking to address the issues.
Can you stay for a minute or two,
yeah.
Ryan? Are you okay on time? All right.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, sure.
Despite DCFS finding deplorable situations, there are houses that fall into disarray where the parents don't kill their child either. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can't predict that's going to happen. It's terrible any way you look at it.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Ryan Burrow is joining us. We're talking about the AJ Friend case. If you'd like to jump in with a question or a comment, you can at 312-981-7200. It's us. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Ryan Burrow is here from the WGN Newsroom. We're talking about the sad developments, many of them we learned yesterday about the A.J. Friend case. You just mentioned A.J. has a younger brother, a three-year-old brother, and they have a baby on the way. What happens there, Ryan? What happens with that baby?
That's a great question. That's something that I heard them talking about on Steve Cochran. I'm not exactly sure at this point. I mean, obviously, she's got a deliver this child, and then what happens at that point, we just don't know. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately this does happen. You know, it happens in Cook County, McHenry County, you know,
wherever. Will they let you raise a baby in jail, though?
I don't think so, but I'm sure that there are certain plans and policies in place. But, you know, and this doesn't appear to be some kind of crime where she's going to be out in 6 months, if indeed convicted. So, you know, this is long-term, potentially. By the way, guys, I just got the criminal complaint. But once again, this is just very disturbing news. The one thing that prosecutors believe is that AJ was actually killed on April 15th, which would have been
three or four days prior.
Yeah, the Monday before. 911 wasn't called until a week ago today. So there was a three-day span there between the time they believe AJ was killed and the time that the father finally called 911. And here's what it says, that that for both parents, they feel that or prosecutors believe that the child was forced to remain in a cold shower for an extended period of time and or struck on or about his body. These people knowing that the axe would cause the death of AJ, thereby causing the death of AJ. So, yeah, that's the way they laid it out.
I can't even comprehend that. I mean, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at the words coming out of your mouth. I'm hearing them, and it just makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Because you're thinking rationally. These are two people who lost that ability at some point, right?
I know that I had also heard that there were some drug problems with the husband as well, with the father. He had lost his law license.
Yeah, and there are reports, obviously we can't talk to him, but that they had actually met each other because he was representing her. He, by the way, 60 years old. She's 36 years old. So it's quite possible that it would initially started as a relationship, professional relationship turned into something more.
I hope when that baby's born, that baby could be reunited with the remaining brother and live a happy life, because AJ had no chance. He had absolutely no chance in this world, and it's sickening.
No, and boy, to just think about the 3-year-old brother's future ahead, knowing what he's going to learn. I mean, he may not be able to comprehend it right now, but knowing
and that,
that he survived, that his brother was the one who was killed. It just, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, AJ's death may have prevented the other child's death, too.
It's possible.
It's just, I can't comprehend it. I don't know why. These stories happen a lot. I feel sorry for the children in the neighborhood who just really, your parents are supposed to love you unconditionally. You trust your parents. I can't even imagine what's going through a little kid's head right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, it turns out their parents did it. That's inconceivable.
Right. And yet, if you're a kid, you have to even realize, even at a young age, but that's not how it normally works. You wouldn't trust your parents any less. If this has happened next door to me, I would still not think that my parents had that in them to do that. You know, it's such an anomaly. It's rarity, thankfully.
Yes.
You know,
you always hope that something good comes out of this. Obviously, DCFS is going to take a hard look at the way they operate and do things, and if there's anything they could have done. People listening to this story, you know, maybe there's something that you've noticed that seems weird or out of place, and maybe because of this, you're more willing to go forward with and talk to professionals about
it. You're right.
312-981-7200. Kathy has called us. Speaking of DCFS, go ahead, Kathy.
Well, I was just going to say overall, I mean, this is just a horrendous, heartbreaking story, but it's more than just DCFS that has failed them. It's all social services. And I really think that a lot of this has to do with the opioid epidemic. And there, but for the grace of God, I know someone in a similar situation. This story could be the person that I know. I mean, I was really hoping that this would be an accident, and it really sounds like it wasn't. But, you know,
I was hoping that too, Kathy, and I don't know why it's still tragic that AJ died, but you want to make it easier.
Right. But anyway, from what I understand, the mother was a hairdresser and maybe taught hairdressing school. The person I know was a massage therapist experiencing pain, hand pain, back pain, perhaps his mom, the same thing. The doctor prescribes the Vicodin. You're taking the Vicodin for back pain. Nobody wants to get addicted to opioids. I'm a nurse. I know this. I see it a lot. And basically what probably happened is they're having stress. Things are going on. The back pain's resolved, but they need to take it to go to sleep one night because they can't sleep. And the next thing you know, they're taking it for this, that, and the other thing. Then they get addicted to the opioids. And guess what? The doctor cuts them off. So what happens then? Then you're trying to buy pills from somebody else on the street. You're running around trying to buy pills on the street. You lose your medical coverage. So now you lose your job, and now you have no medical coverage, right? So you've lost your job, you're addicted to Vicodin and so on, which could have been this woman's story, and somebody's kind to you, and you're lonely, and boom, you get pregnant. That person doesn't know. I mean, for all we know, Mr. Andrew Friend, or however you pronounce that, did not know she was addicted to opiates at the time. Now you're pregnant, and you are on opioids. Nobody wants to admit this. The person I knew didn't tell anybody, and we're thinking, why wouldn't you tell us? We could help you. Instead, what they do is they live in shame. They tell you they go in the doctor. They don't. Finally, when delivery comes and you go to the hospital and you're in labor, they say, you know, who's your doctor? The minute they say, I didn't have one, they drug test. The baby gets flight lifted away, has to be, weaned off the opioids because the baby's positive, but the mother gets almost no help. The person I knew, the case manager, says, you ever want to see that baby again? You better make sure that you go to rehab. She has no coverage. They hand her brochures. Here's Rosecrans, here's this. No coverage, no help with the phone calls. The person is jonesing because they've been just had a baby and they haven't had their Vicodin. It's a big freaking mess, which is probably why this Andrew friend was in foster care for 2 years before she could get him back. Now, I happen to have called DCFS on this person while they were raising the kid that they had had, and they got off drugs, but of course they got stressed, things happened, they get addicted again. And when DCFS came out, they told me, because the kid's life was spent in a car seat, the one I knew, driving around with mom while she's looking for opioids, okay, someone to sell her pills.
Kathy, we have
nothing
to...
Nothing we can do.
We have to run, but you are painting a picture that... we don't see. We can't understand this. And, you know, being addicted to drugs, you do things not in your right mind. That's for sure.
And we need to help these people.
Agreed.
So we all hear about the opioid epidemic, but we don't see what happens to the people. And DCFS can't take all these kids out of their homes. That's the problem.
It's impossible.
Absolutely. Kathy,
Thanks, Kathy.
You so much for your insight. We appreciate it.
Ryan, thank you. I know that yesterday was a very difficult day in the news. It was a difficult day for everybody.
Sure.
It was really just a horrible, horrible day. We appreciate you reporting on it.
Horrible
thank you
day
so
for
much.
Everyone.
Yeah,
really, really
no question.
Yep.
That's Ryan Burrow. A break, some news, and a lot more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
I was singing along to the theme song for David Hochberg. He is Vice President of Lending of Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial. David, how are you?
I'm fantastic. David, you know that it's a game our listeners play when you're on. They bet the over and under on when you'll go crazy.
When I start losing it?
Today's over and under, 6 minutes and 21 seconds.
It depends. Let's when you ask you me that ridiculously obtuse question.
And I'm going to go sooner.
I'd have to like tee it up and drive it 400 yards.
Yes.
But I'm calm. I'm doing my Kegel exercises.
Oh,
I'm having a good
now?
Day. Yeah, my daughter's 16th birthday today. Happy birthday.
How about that? Happy birthday.
To my daughter, Carly.
How about that?
16, 16 years ago today, we were running over. I was running my wife over to Highland Park Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to the doctor and the nurses out there that did a fine job 16 years ago. And the one thing my wife wanted, she made me walk over to Once Upon a Grill and get her a tuna fish sandwich because she loves tuna fish.
This was after the birth.
After the birth. So with Highland Park, downtown Highland Park, kind of was like a couple of minutes away. So I walked over and she was jonesing for a tuna fish sandwich and she couldn't eat it because of the mercury or something.
Yes.
And that's love right there, everybody. When your wife craves the tuna fish sandwich and you walk and answer phone calls, you know, return phone calls to your clients that you couldn't get to because you were holding your wife's leg up and counting to 10 and pushing.
Yep.
So
you
yeah.
did none of the pushing. I'll
I did none.
Right
I held
now.
The leg up. I counted to 10. I got her ice chips.
And when you're delivering a baby, there's a lot of strength in that leg that wants to come down. So
it was like a workout and a half.
There's no word for this. You know how there's a word deja vu, and that means you've had that feeling that something's happened? There's no word for this, but you know when there's an event that seems like it just happened yesterday, but it also seems like it was 1,000 years ago? The birth of a child is like that.
Three girls. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's happy. Thank God. I'm very fortunate. And, I could flash back as if it was 3 minutes ago to where... What was happening? The third one, we had a code red or whatever, and they hit the button because the umbilical cord was wrapped around my third daughter's neck. I'll tell you what, those nurses at Highland Park Hospital and all the nurses out there, when they hit the button and said the word, you had four nurses running in there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, what's going on? Nothing, sir. Everything's fine. Right? My newborn is on the verge of death, and they're like, oh, we got this.
And they do have it. They're not playing cards. Can I just say that?
Nurses
don't do that.
No, when they hit whatever button they hit or whatever word they said, literally four nurses, God bless them, came crashing in the room. Like, everything's under control, Mr. Hochberg. I'm like, are you sure? Like, we got this.
Yeah.
And boom, everything was taken care of.
Are you going to pass the family business? You know what the Smith brothers have done? They've passed the family business on to their daughters. Do you have the similar plan
I
with
hope
your
not.
Daughters?
I
you don't want to do
no,
that?
No, you know what it's going to be? It's all going to be technologically driven. You're going to push a button, get a mortgage. And it's, you know, within the next 7 to 10 years, people are going online buying houses without even seeing houses.
What
now.
About the human factor, David?
Well, no, there'll always be a human factor, right? And
like
I love
now.
What I do, and I love helping people, and I love the, you know, the runner's high, this body that you're looking at and hearing hasn't run anywhere except to catch a cab in the past 15 years. But, you know, when I used to run, I used to get that
adrenaline rush.
Yeah, the adrenaline rush.
Adrenaline.
And, yeah, whatever the hell
adrenaline.
That is. And, yeah, and the the endorphin tie, yes, whatever they're called. It's three syllable words. I'm very difficult with, yeah, but I'm great with numbers. So I, you know, that's the high I get helping people when I connect the dots for folks, listeners that call in.
And you do a great job. And I actually was going to call you yesterday, and this is a question that a listener might have.
Bring it on.
I got something in the mail from a company.
Yeah.
That astounded me with how much they could reduce my mortgage payment.
Sure, sure.
So take, I need take to this talk
pill,
to you about.
Take this pill, Wendy, and you'll lose 50 pounds too. Okay. The problem with those ridiculous mailers are that they are go out to tens of thousands of people.
I felt special
on a, when that's what, and that's,
it said,
and that's,
Wendy's name on it. David.
I know it did, because they
in
pull a
different
list,
color ink than the, yeah, body of the,
right,
letter.
But. All right, they pull a list. Hey, call us now, and you could you know save all this money.
Like $1,600 a month.
Sure, right. Come on, give me a break. $1,600 a month. So if that,
but it always says you can save up to $1,600 a month.
Or you know what? Hey, come into this big box store and open up a credit card and save 15-20% on your first purchase, and then you go to apply for the credit card, and the poor schlub behind the counter there, oh, sorry, Mrs. and Mrs. Cohen or McGillicuddy or Smith, you don't qualify because your credit sucks. All right? So all of these letters that go out, we're getting a ton of these calls. Like, I got you in at 3 5/8. I'm like 3.625. You're not getting any better than that. The 30-year right now is in the fours. So
this was
know.
Lower than that.
Well, I'm sure it is. Right. Okay. You know.
And so it's not true. So if people get those, disregard them and call you, and maybe you can find them a better deal.
Here's what.
So I'll be calling you later.
That's fine. Here's what I recommend to people, and I've been telling people because I've been getting a lot of those calls lately, is take a picture of what you get and mail it to me. Email it to me at david@56david. My cell phone number. Shocking. I'm going to give my cell phone number out. If you want to text it to me, it's 773-456-6526. Just text me a picture, and I'll take a look at it, and I'll tell you where the Swiss cheese holes are in the letter and why it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're in at 9-10%, sure, makes all the sense in the world.
You'll save money that
way. But most people over the past 10 years have been refinancing into the threes and in the fours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know, there's still some people who get calls all the time. Hey, I'm in an adjustable rate mortgage. Got a call on Monday. What is it? Thursday? I got a call on Monday. Hey, I'm in a 5.875% loan. I'm in an ARM,
mm-hmm,
and I want to lock it into a fixed rate loan. I'm like, okay, you know, why haven't you done anything? I got to ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where have you been? He's like, well, I had some credit challenges, and my home's been upside down. I've had some part-time work. So he hasn't been in a position to do it. But finally, he's fully employed. He's solid. He got his credit straightened out,
mm-hmm,
and now we're able to get him into the four, save him a ton of money, recalibrate some of his debt, take some money out. We paid off, I think, $40,000 with the credit card debt, saving people a ton of money.
Yeah.
And that's what we're able to do. So good. Just be careful out there, because there's a lot of scumbags out there.
That doesn't seem right or legal that they should be doing that.
Well, there's nothing specific in the letter. You could save,
I guess,
up,
yeah,
to.
Yeah, Bill's right.
Okay, you could save up to. It's very vague.
Yeah.
Right? And there's the body. It blows my mind. I'm going to start doing the postcard thing. I never believed in the postcard thing, but I get calls from people all the time. I got this postcard,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it doesn't seem right. I'm like, then why'd you? I'm like, you've been hearing me on the radio for 15 years. Are we over the 6-minute mark?
You're okay, at 828. Okay. So it is over.
You've been
over.
Hearing me on the radio for 14, 15 years. I invest millions of dollars to get the voice, the message out. Be,
yes,
careful. And the people get a postcard from somebody they've never heard before and dial 123456, and there's somebody in a sweatbox call center. Yeah, we can help you. Okay,
yes.
Then whammo, here comes the 545 Metro.
What about just regular postcards, David? Let's say your aunt went to Fort Lauderdale.
Well, that's okay.
That's fine.
Well, if your aunt's not in the mortgage business and not soliciting you, it's 100%
fine. Then
it's
fine. All right.
It's
going
to take 3.5 weeks to get back to you.
Right.
You ever time one of those postcards?
It takes
a long forever.
Time. I know.
But
all
it's
right.
The same postage stamp.
Right.
It's the same 40 cents.
David's hyperventilating. Can we get, yeah, Mr. Hochberg some pineapple, Jasmine? Absolutely. All right. We'll come back. More with David Hochberg in just a little bit. We're at 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the David Hochberg
Dance
Disco
Party.
Fun Party.
Get down,
David Hochberg.
Hochberg, Vice President Lending, Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial. Real easy number to call them, 855-56-DAVID, or you could go to 56david.com. Are you still paying someone's,
yeah,
one-month mortgage?
We're picking the second winner today for the Saturday. This Saturday for the mortgage, and the first winner for the rent.
Rentals.
So there is still time to register for this weekend's drawing. You go to 56davidwin.com.
Right.
You don't have to buy anything.
Right.
You just need to live in Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, or Iowa, and own a house. and be 21 years old.
So there's one sweepstakes for people who own, there's one for people who rent, but nothing for people who are squatting illegally on
right.
property.
You're right, you're on your own. Right. I can't take care of everybody.
That's fine.
All right, so 60-some percent of the people own a home, 30-some percent of the people rent a home. So if you squat, then yeah, I can't, I, you know.
Got it.
The squat, you know, I'm sorry for the Squat Association of America.
That's fair.
The SAAA, I'm sure I'm going to get emails from everybody. So I just want to give a couple of tips. Talk to a couple of your listeners,
yes,
who were moving within the next 3 to 5 years because they're retiring,
yeah,
and they're getting out of Illinois, and they're moving to, one's moving to Tennessee, one's moving to Florida.
Yeah.
All right. What we did was we did 2 cash out transactions, consolidated debt, saved one couple who's listening right now, $900 a month covered. We gave them a full credit for all their closing costs. We took another couple and saved them $1,500 a month and just did it on the husband's income, because the wife's credit score was 691, the husband's credit score was 750 something, and he made enough money, thank goodness. So we kept the wife on the title, took her off the loan. She had 40 some thousand dollars with the credit card debt. That's why her credit was lower than the husband,
right?
And we're going to pay everything off. Her credit score is going to shoot up because we paid off all the debt, saving $1,500 a month.
Her credit score will shoot up because her name is still on the title. Is that why?
No, because all of her credit card debt will be extinguished by doing a cash out transaction using the equity in their home that's been sitting there for years.
Yeah.
And then what they're going to do is take that money that they're saving, invest it back into their home. They need to do some renovations, bring it up to speed. It hasn't been touched since the 80s or 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Put a little perfume on the pig to get it ready to move in the next 3-4 years. And also enjoy the house over the next 3-4 years. Maybe put in new countertops. Call my buddy Tom Janke over at Builder Supply Outlet. You know, go in there and get some great priced kitchen and bath stuff. Make your home a little more presentable, a lot more enjoyable over the next couple of years. But people that are listening, that are sitting in loans, mm-hmm, that plan on moving in the next 3 to 5 years, this is an outstanding, I don't care if you're at 3.625, I don't care if you're in the twos. It's got to do what's coming out of your pocket every single month, right? If you got a great rate that's going out of your left pocket, it's $1,500, and you got $40,000 worth of your credit card debt, that's $1,600 going out of your right pocket, you're still paying a ton of money every single month. If we could consolidate it together, and it's less than what is currently going out, it's a win.
Yeah.
Okay, and if we could give you a full closing cost credit, there are closing costs on every single loan, no matter how many people want to say there aren't any closing costs, which is ridiculous in and of itself. We'll give you a full closing cost credit on both these transactions, and both your listeners, we just freed up another like over $2,000 a month.
It's a big difference.
We've saved listeners in Chicago over $45,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
By just doing cash out refinances and consolidation loans with their refinances in the first 3 months of the year. I'm going to update it every single month. That's my new thing this year. So we've saved listeners in Chicago over $500,000 in monthly payments.
Jeez.
By consolidating their mortgages, but consolidating their debt in with their mortgages, which is huge.
Right.
And my goal is to get it to $2 million by the end of the year.
Good luck on that.
You know what's exciting? Since we get many people get 26 paychecks because you get paid every other week. There are 2 months of the year where you get 3 paychecks, and it's awesome because you can kind of catch up. That's what winning this 1 month of mortgage is like.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't understand. I've got close to 4,000 people. There's 8 million people here in Chicago. I don't know. I figured we'd have like 100,000 people already taken care of. I don't know what everybody's waiting for. There's no catch. We didn't have to have done your mortgage, right? You don't have to buy anything. You just got to go to 56DavidWynn. Fill out the template. There's like 7-8 different fields. You have to fill out all the fields.
Yeah.
And hit submit.
That's all there is.
That's it.
All right. Don't be sad.
And then you go 56 David win rent in order to get the rent.
All right.
I don't understand.
It'll be okay. Go back to what you said about people who are, they know they're selling their house.
Yeah,
this is what I heard. Tell me if this is true.
Yeah.
That if you're going to reinvest in the house and spruce it up a little bit, you want to go with either the kitchen or the bathrooms or both.
I'll tell you who you go to. You go to a realtor that knows what they're doing in your area.
Yeah.
And we have relationships with a lot of realtors. So if you're thinking of doing something and investing money in your home, contact me at 855-56-DAVID. I will get you in touch with a realtor that is part of our team that you could talk to for free.
Mm-hmm.
That will come out to your home for free,
mm-hmm,
give a walkthrough for free, and give their analysis, professional real estate analysis of what they recommend that you do. We had one guy who wanted to put tile down, and the wife wanted to do hardwood.
Yeah.
Okay. And I had Amy Kite on across the station on another show, you know, that I host on Saturdays. And Amy Kite's like, you know, you might like tile right now, but more people want wood. Mm-hmm. So why are you investing in tile for the next 3-4 years in a home that you want to maximize the value? Mm-hmm. So I know you might like tile, but guess what? Go get a carpet that looks like tile so you think you have tile.
A tile carpet.
A carpet tile. It's genius. I just came up with that. It's a brilliant idea.
Yes, it is.
But put hardwood floor under it.
Right.
So when you go to sell it, you roll the carpet up because everybody, hardwood floors is still...
That's what's selling.
It's been popular for 60, 70 years, hardwood floors.
Right.
These are the mistakes that people make. Hey, I'm going to go do this. Hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you give us a call? 855-56-DAVID. Go to 56David.com. Say, I live in this town. Here's my address. I'm thinking of selling in the next whatever. I'll introduce you to a realtor that we have a relationship with in that area. Mm-hmm. They will come out, give you a free estimate of what your home's worth today. They will give you a free analysis of what they think you should do if you're going to invest in your home. We could finance that improvement through a refinance or a home equity line of credit or something so you enjoy your home over the next 3 to 4 to 5 years.
Right.
If you have debt, we pay off the debt so you could enhance your credit scores over the next 3, 4, or 5 years. So when
yes.
you buy your next house, you're in the upper 700s. You've got to take a break, so I got to shut up and wrap
it
up.
No, no, no. I have two questions I want you to answer. One is, my house is paid off. Can I still enter David's sweepstakes?
Sure. I'll refinance you, and then we'll have a mortgage to pay off. I mean, the sweepstakes do what?
If the house is paid off,
there's no mortgage.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no mortgage.
Yeah. No. To answer the question, we're just paying the principal and interest, so we're not paying taxes and insurance. So
right.
whatever your principal and interest, I think it's up to $2,500 on the mortgage payment and $2,000 on rent, and you have to supply a mortgage payment if you win to prove what it is.
So then don't enter because you don't have a mortgage.
You don't have a mortgage payment.
Real quickly, I want to buy my house that I currently rent. My credit score is around 650. I can buy it for $40,000. It's been appraised for around $80,000. I would obviously rather pay a mortgage than rent. No money to put down. Is this possible?
Is it possible? Yeah, you're going to need some money to put down, but depending on the area, there are loans in certain areas. If you're outside of major metropolitan areas that are called U.S. rural loans, USDA rural loans, that you can get in for zero down. If the individual is a veteran, you can get in with zero down, and there are different programs, but you're going to have to come up with something because the seller can't contribute to the down payment.
But it's not 20% anymore where it has to be, right?
No, I get people in for 3% down if they're not a veteran or if they're not doing a rural loan.
All right. See, these are the questions you don't know the answers to.
You do not need 20% down.
If you have any questions whatsoever, that's what I did. I heard you on the radio. I called you. That's how we became friends. I trust you. He's David Hochberg, 855-56-DAVID. If you can't help them, you will tell them, and you will explain what they might need to do in order for you to help them someday.
It's a free consultation. And it's a free sweepstakes to enter.
Yeah.
It's free to enter the sweepstakes for the free mortgage or free rent. It's the best 4-letter word in the English language that starts with an F.
I like
free.
The other one.
What, Fritos?
No, don't say it on free, the air. 855-56-DAVID. You can also go to 56David.com. David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending of Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial.
Here's a warm towel, David.
Better get to the break quick before we say something.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks for having me. It's David Hochberg. That's who that is. We'll take a quick break and then some news. And then more of us.
When you wish upon a star, make no difference who you are.
Bertrand, I wish you could have been in here because people laugh at me because I'm married to a Star Wars fan and he talks Star Wars a lot. Bill,
wait,
and our,
let me finish that. Was Bill talking Mickey?
Bill, no, not oh, as okay. Mickey,
not
but
as
Bill
Mickey.
Was talking to our next guest, Chicago's premier Walt Disney expert, Bruce Pecco. You guys were like two little kids trying to out-Disney one another.
Yes, we were.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we were. And I give way to you, Bruce, because you are your Chicagoland's Disney expert. How did you become that? What happened?
When we were very young, when we were kids, our parents took us to Disneyland on vacation. That was 1970. It was the 15th anniversary of the park.
Yeah.
I fell in love with it. I was a kid. 2 years later, they said, we're going to go back to Disneyland. And I said, there's a new park opening in Florida. We should go there.
Yeah.
And they said, we don't know that park. We don't want to go there. We're going to go back to Disneyland. And I didn't like that.
Uh-huh.
So I got my hands on everything I could read about Disney World and convinced them to take us there. And then I was the tour guide for the family as a kid.
And how old were you at this point?
Like around 12, 13 or something like that. And I was the tour guide, and I had to fight with my dad sometimes because he thought I didn't know what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But you did all the research and you knew.
I knew. Like, he would say, we have to go this way to get there. And I'd be like, if we go that way, we're going to go all the way around the park. We need to go straight through there. And he'd be like, no. And we'd go that way. And then we'd walk all the way around. He'd say, when are we going to get there? And I would say, we'd gone that way,
we'd still be
You're like a Disney GPS system.
Yes.
You are.
And after that first time in Walt Disney World, that was it.
You loved it.
I loved it. So I kept going back. And once I started writing for the Daily Herald, I did features. And I had a 3 times a week column, put as much Disney World in as I could. Mm-hmm. And then I started the Tribune writing.
Can I just ask a question here? Because, Bill, you love Disney.
Very much.
Bruce, obviously you do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My kids, my husband. I don't find that love. I
Wendy's broken.
We talked about this the last time.
It's okay. And Disneyland, I went to for the first time this summer or last summer. I enjoyed that because it was smaller and it was more doable.
I think when you go more often with your family and you create memories that are in you, that's what makes you feel that heartwarming when you go back again.
Right. Okay?
Once you've built up all these memories with family members and friends, it's like you're going home. I call it my home away from home.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
And also, you only go on Country Bear Jamboree. You got to try other rides and attractions, Wendy. It's not just a one-ride park.
My kids make me go on Splash Mountain, so I was against that, but it's not that bad.
It's not.
I just don't like rides anymore. But, I mean, it's not that bad of a drop or anything.
It's not that scary, no.
It really isn't.
Right. Do you not go on, like, the Haunted Mansion?
Oh, I love the Haunted Mansion. Okay. I love
it. I'll see what we're doing. Well done, Bruce.
Okay. I'll give you that. So it's not necessarily a ride as it is. You could love an experience there.
Well, that's the point. I'm not a big fast roller coaster person.
Yeah.
I'll go on some, like I'll go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah.
But I won't go on Expedition Everest.
Too much.
Yeah.
For you.
I went on it once. Too much.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go on Dinosaur.
Yeah.
And I'll go on the Tower of Terror, but I won't go on Rock and Roller Coaster.
Oh. You will do the Tower of Terror?
I've done it 4 or 5 times in a row.
Yeah. That's
because
a great ride.
It's just up and down. So it's like.
But isn't it like 80 floors?
No.
Oh, somebody's lied to me.
No. The whole building is. Oh, I don't want to say. The building is really tall, but the drop is about 130 feet, 13
stories.
Okay,
that's too much.
And it's on a randomizer now, so every ride is different. You don't know how many floors you're going up and down.
That's one of my secrets in my story.
Oh, that's a secret.
Don't
tell anybody.
Because when it first opened, it was one drop,
right.
And that's all. And then they changed it and they gave you 2 drops so it would be a better experience. Then they changed it again and they made it a little random, but people would memorize how it's going to drop and they didn't want people knowing when it was going to go up and down and up and down. So now it's randomized. So the tower itself, the computers spit out what sequence the cars are going to go in, so you never know when you're going to go up and down and how far you're going to go.
And they just changed that version of the ride in Disneyland. Yes. It's now the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes,
and
exactly.
How is that fun when you don't know and all of a sudden you're going to drop?
The element of surprise.
That's the whole point.
I like Pirates of the Caribbean, too. I love that.
Yeah. The problem with the Pirates of the Caribbean is that it's different in every Disney theme park.
Mm-hmm.
It's longer in some, shorter in others. The story is in reverse in Disneyland Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It's backwards from the way it is in Disneyland.
And all the pirates smoke in the one in France.
I think pirates smoke everywhere.
They do?
I felt like the Disneyland one was longer than Disney World.
The Disneyland one is about twice as long as the one.
Yeah, I loved it.
It is.
Yeah. And there's a restaurant that I wanted to go eat in because...
That feels like you're outside and you're inside.
Blue Bayou, yes.
That's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Do you recommend that?
Yeah,
I know you like World better than Land.
I do.
Bruce, one of the things that always captivates me about the way they laid out Disney World is they built on something called forced perspective. I'm sure you're aware of this. Where the buildings aren't really true to size, in that they make it seem like things are bigger than they actually are.
Exactly. That's
they're masters at that.
They are very good at that. If you ever really took a good look at Cinderella Castle, it's built that way. And if you really look at it closely, you'll see that the bricks on the outside on the bottom are really tall. As you go up in the building, the bricks get shorter as they go up. And then, so when you're looking at it, it looks taller than what it really
is. But they even do that on Main Street with the buildings.
Yes, they do that on Main Street with the buildings
as well. Every floor is smaller as you go up to make it seem bigger.
And they did it in reverse in Epcot. Because in Epcot, if you look across the World Showcase Lagoon at the American Adventure, you're looking at an old colonial building, which back then would only be 2 stories tall. But because if they built a 2-story tall building all the way over there, it would get lost. Nobody would see it. So they made it 5 stories tall, but the scaling looks like a 2-story tall building.
Genius.
And that way...
They really are. They know how to do things over there.
That's when I was a kid, that's what really excited me, was that the creativity, they thought of something, and they did it.
Right.
My sister is a big Disney fan. Oddly enough, I'm not. But she said the last time we went, she goes, you know what? Take the time to notice the details. And I'm telling you, that changed my trip when we went to Disneyland. I did take the time, but that's because Disneyland is more manageable. Disney World is Crazy Town.
No.
It's too
big.
That
was the original name of Disney World, wasn't it? Bruce Crazy Town.
I really don't think so.
Walt Disney's Crazy Town. How about it? Even the garbage cans are themed. Like,
what?
If you're in Adventureland,
yes,
it has one look. If you're in Tomorrowland, it has another look.
I got those details.
They're painted so that they blend in with the area that you're in, which is why they have the utilidors, so that you don't see a cowboy walking around in Tomorrowland.
Those are the underground tunnels,
Wendy,
the utilidors.
Tunnels. Yeah, the utilidors.
That's not a band that Steve Cochran used to be in.
Oh, it should be. You guys should be best friends. Can I just say that?
I already have a best friend, Bruce, Grant Mulvey, but if he's sick one day, would you like to be my best friend?
Sure.
If he's sick?
Sure.
All right. That was easy.
What are some surprising things? We're going to take a break, and then I believe we have a little contest that we are going to put together, spur of the moment.
Excellent.
To give away some fabulous prizes. But what is something, a couple of things we may not know about Disney?
That I should just talk about?
Not the contest.
Not the contest yet,
okay,
but is there
Hollywood Studios?
Okay.
It's celebrating an anniversary, right?
It is celebrating. On May 1st, next week, it's going to be the 30th anniversary of Hollywood Studios.
Now, that is the park. A lot of people go, it was okay, but they're sprucing it up dramatically. That's where they're adding the Star Wars element to, right?
The focus of the park has changed. It started out as being something that showed you the behind-the-scenes production of movies and TV and radio and things like that.
Yeah.
That was the whole purpose. But over the years, when you think back, it opened in 89. And over the years, DVDs came out and cable TV came out. And they had all these ways of seeing behind-the-scenes stuff that you could now learn, see right in your own home.
Sure.
You didn't have to go anywhere. So they decided to change the focus of the park and make it immersive experiences where you go on things and you're actually in the TV show or in the movie.
That's pretty cool.
That's the focus it's going toward with Star Wars.
Yeah. You know what always impresses me there is the restaurant where it feels like you're at a drive-in in the 1950s. Even though it's daytime, it seems like it's nighttime there and you're watching old science fiction.
The sci-fi dining theater.
That's so cool.
Yes.
Have you been in there, Wendy?
No.
You would love that. That's
you
excellent.
Would. That's
Someone has just texted, you have made my day talking Disney. I'm going with my family for my 65th birthday in the fall. I cannot wait. I have a huge smile on my face
perfect.
Right now.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Excellent.
That's the magic, right?
That is the magic right there.
That is the magic.
We'll take a break and then more with Bruce as we discuss Disney. And yes, there will be a contest and prizes to be had.
All right, that's coming up, 720 WGN.
Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Bruce Pecco is here, Walt Disney World expert. Start calling now at 312-981-7200. We have a little trivia game we're going to play with you. 312-981-7200, and we've got some fabulous prizes to give away.
May I very briefly say that the winner will pick up a pair of tickets to see the very popular Sebastian Maniscalco You Bother Me Tour. It's happening Saturday, November 2nd at the United Center. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com or United Center box office, or you can win a pair here.
Bruce, while we're loading up contestants, any ride or attraction from Disney's past that you could bring back, any ride or attraction that once existed at Walt Disney World and is no longer there, what would you bring back?
Easy. Horizons.
Oh, at Epcot Center.
That was a ride in Future World in Epcot where it showed you life in the future as it would be if you lived in the desert, under the water, or in outer space.
Pretty good ride.
And it was and you got to choose at the end which ending you were able to go in, if you remember that on your panel on the car. Wonderful ride. And it's not there anymore.
Who are the wizards that came up with all these fascinating rides and shows? And I mean, really?
Imagineers,
that's right.
How smart are they?
Imagineers are very smart, Wendy.
Or just creative.
Very creative. Yes.
Here's what I would bring back. Tell me what you think of these. Either if you had wings from Tomorrowland.
Yes.
I like that ride a lot.
Mm-hmm.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah. That was a fun ride, too. That was a fun ride. That was actually, at one point, the most popular ride in the Magic Kingdom.
And now it's gone.
And then
because Wendy didn't like it.
Yeah.
So
you
they
guys
took it
are
out.
Like two Chris Farleys interviewing one another.
Remember that one time at Disney World?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, Bill, how do you want to do this?
All right, you and I will square off. Bruce has written some Disney trivia questions, so you will play with a contestant, and I will play with a contestant.
The poor person who gets me, because I don't know anything about Disney. I really don't.
You know some stuff.
All right, well, let's just start from the beginning. Bill, Steve can work with you.
All right, Steve, hi.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
It's you and me against Wendy and everybody else.
No, it will be me. So do I get another contestant?
Yes. Then?
All right. Oh, God. Mary, I'm apologizing in advance, but you and I are working together. I hope you know Disney, because I don't.
I think I do, but I think we got it, Wendy.
All right. So how confident. Do we do this, Bill?
Bruce will ask a question. Either you or Mary or Steve or I will buzz in with the answer.
And just do we have to say our names. Name?
Yeah, just say your name, Mary or Steve, if you know the answer as Bruce asks the questions.
Okay.
You all guys right. ready?
Okay, question
yeah,
one.
Man.
All right.
What type of candy is not sold anywhere in the Magic
Bill.
Kingdom?
Steve.
Mary.
Steve, you go ahead.
Mary, we
Bubble
were the
gum.
Is bubblegum the correct answer,
that is
Bruce?
Correct. Gum.
Well done, Steve.
All right, okay. How are we doing points here?
Bruce, what do you think? They're all about 1 point each.
Yeah,
is that fair?
Yeah
they're all
fair.
1 point
that's
each.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So we keep these contestants on?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You ready, Mary?
Number two.
Yeah.
How many bricks were used to construct Cinderella Castle?
Who knows this?
Wow. That's tough. That's very tough. Mary or Steve, do you know the answer to that?
A lot.
Mary does
a lot?
Not know.
Is it a lot?
No.
No. How many? You want a specific number, Bruce?
102.
About. You can give me about.
Yeah.
About 100.
No.
I would just be guessing, but 30,000 bricks.
No.
What? How many?
Zero.
Zero bricks.
Why? They're not really bricks.
Oh.
It's concrete and stucco, and it's there are no bricks at all.
That's pretty fascinating.
It's just carved into the
yeah.
side.
You made us all look bad.
Hey, there he is, Mickey. Why can't you be my partner?
Okay.
Various reasons.
All right. 1-0 in favor of Steve so far.
Okay. What attraction did Winnie the Pooh replace
Bill.
In Fantasyland?
Bill?
You
is
are
me?
Bill. Why Mary. Are you asking us a question?
Is it Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Oh, Mary, did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, you weren't quick enough.
Okay.
2-0 in favor of Steve.
Okay. What is the tallest attraction in all of the theme parks in Disney World, and how tall is it?
Mary.
Bill? Oh, Mary, go ahead.
Tower of Terror?
That's the second tallest attraction.
Oh.
Is it Expedition Everest?
Yes, it is.
Ah!
Expedition Everest is 199.5 feet tall.
How many bricks were used when they built it?
And the Tower of Terror is 199 feet tall.
Oh.
You are patronizing me. I just want to tell everybody that when Bruce asked the question, Bill pointed to me like, you can take this one. What if I don't know that one?
I don't know. I thought you
Jeez.
Might know that one.
All right, Mary, we're not doing very well. Do we have time for two more?
Yeah.
Okay, what is the fastest ride at Walt Disney World?
Bill?
Wendy.
That was a close one. Wendy, go ahead.
I'm saying Space Mountain, but I don't know.
No.
Bill? It's once again Expedition Everest, I believe, isn't
no.
it? It's not.
No,
Bill
it's not.
Is wrong.
Oh.
Bill is wrong.
Oh, no.
It feels faster because of the turns and everything,
yeah.
but the fastest ride is Test Track.
Oh.
I don't even know what that is.
65
oh,
miles an hour.
Right.
Bruce, you get a point.
You don't know. Wait, you don't. Hey, what do I win? So you don't know that?
I'm sorry.
You disappointed Bruce with not
I'm
knowing
sorry.
That.
I'm disappointed
right.
one
okay.
more time.
All right, give us one more.
Okay, here's one from my article.
You ready, Mary and Steve?
Here's one from my article.
Yes.
All right.
But I'm making it as a quiz question.
Okay.
What is the only roller coaster in Disney World that was built as an outdoor coaster first, and then the building
Mary.
Was built around
Mary
the outside?
Knows
Come
this
on,
one.
Mary.
Oh, I didn't think she was going to add that second part, but... I guess we'll say, maybe the Rock and Roller Coaster?
That's it.
That's it. Well done,
my
Mary.
God. So is it tied now?
Steve still had three.
Oh, Mary, you
Mary
got our
one.
Mary
and Bruce got one also.
All right, well, I'll tell you what we can do. Right now, Steve, you're walking away with a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco. His You Bother Me tour is happening at the United Center November 2nd. He's so funny. So hang on. We'll set you up with that. And Mary, We can set you up with a pair of tickets to the annual Wright Plus House Walk. It's open to the public one day only, Saturday, May 18th. You can go inside spectacular private homes designed by Frank Lloyd Wright and his contemporaries. It's happening in Oak Park, and it's organized by the Frank Lloyd Wright Trust. Details at flwright.org, and I may be going to that. So we'll set you up. You guys, good job.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
All right, Jasmine, you have to put it on hold. I don't know how to do it. I'm sorry I embarrassed my teammate. Although Mary wasn't that good either.
Oh, yeah. For not being there often, you did fine. Yeah.
Wow. So nice to meet you, Bruce.
Nice meeting you.
Last time you were in, I was on vacation, and Wendy said such great things, and we were anxious to get you up. We'll do this more often.
Cool.
How do people get in touch with you? Books? Where's all your stuff?
I have a Instagram account, Walt Disney World Expert. Facebook is capital W, Walt Disney World Expert, not WDW Expert, mm-hmm. not Walt Disney World.
Okay.
And an email address, WDWExpert@gmail.com.
Bruce Pecco, Chicago's Walt Disney Expert. Would you say he's an expert?
I would say he's an expert.
And the article comes out on Sunday, April 28th on the Tribune.
Excellent.
Can't wait.
Well done, sir. Take care. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Oh, you know what? Actually, we do not have any commercials.
Oh, all right.
So we can go right to news if we would like. Still to come on the show, for some reason I thought it was Wednesday. Usually it works the opposite with me.
Yeah.
So I am a bonus day ahead. It's Thursday, which means we'll be talking to Dean Richards after the news.
Very
Is that
good.
Correct?
Yes.
He's still scheduled?
Yes.
All right, good.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean. Dean, Dean, Dean.
He is. He's Dean, Dean Richards. Dean. There's no one that can deny that. Hi, Dean.
After hearing David Jennings' voice and Orion Samuelson,
yes?
I feel like an 8-year-old girl.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Well, at least you got Bill.
I can always talk like this, Dean. Would that help any?
Oh, no.
It's actually a little creepier.
That was really creepy.
Nice try, David.
That was so scary.
All right, save it for Halloween.
Dean, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Oh, I've got the Avengers fever.
I know you do.
I so don't, and I don't know why.
What?
Come on, you have to. It's illegal not to.
I didn't see the first one.
How Maybe can your family be that into Star Wars?
No, they're into that.
Oh, they're into it. You're not.
I don't care anymore.
I think you would really like it so much.
I got to give it a whirl.
It's people getting together.
Yeah,
it's people of all different backgrounds and cultures getting together and fighting for the common cause.
Right, just like the real world is.
Right. And you don't like Thanos at all.
I don't even know who Thanos is.
I quit. Dean,
wait, Bill, come back.
I quit.
I'll watch first one, and then I really think I would like it. I just never got around to it.
Really? Up until this last movie, I did think that Thanos was a cheese dip that I had at Greek islands.
No, you couldn't be more wrong.
It does sound delicious.
I would like the Thanos plate.
Why do you think this Thanos guy is so angry, Dean? What happened in his past
He's
that made
only,
him so angry?
Well, see, I almost would beg to differ with you on
He's
this.
He's not angry?
He cares about humanity. You know, if you remember, now this is a spoiler alert, but from the last
movie. From the first movie.
So from Infinity Wars.
Yeah.
So over years, if I'm spoiling it for you after a year, that's your fault.
Yeah.
I don't care. Go ahead.
But the reason that, Wendy, in the Infinity War, villain, Thanos, as we like to call him in the Greek community.
He's a Greek villain.
He has a produce market and destroys the world. Also,
because his restaurant didn't do well.
Could cause a guy to be angry.
He was not selling enough Athena burgers as he would have liked to.
Right.
So what happens was this Thanos, he's trying to collect all of these stones in...
He got an isotoner glove that was missing the stones.
It was.
Yeah.
It was missing the stones, but then when he got the stones, then he got the power, and what he did was destroy half of the population on Earth.
Yep.
And the reason that he did it was to make the world more livable.
But it's not up to him, Dean. It's not up to Thanos.
I know, but in his mind, he was doing something humanitarian.
I guess.
Then in his mind, even though it's crazy to kill half the population, he said, if we continue on the path we are with all the people that are grabbing for all the resources, we'll choke ourselves and die. So I'm going to do you a favor and kill half of you.
Typical Thanos.
So the other... the other, that is such a Thanos move.
So Thanosian.
Is he played by Ron Perlman?
No, it's Josh Brolin, and that's why he's so upset. His stepmother's Barbara Streisand, and it messed with him.
It looks like Ron Perlman.
That would make you want to kill half the population, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
You're sitting around Thanksgiving table, and she likes, okay, you're going to sing A Star is Born Again?
Right.
Do we have to listen to this every holiday?
It messes you up. But he is
people
not a good man, I don't think,
people.
Dean. I don't think Thanos is a good man.
Does Thanos sing that?
Yeah.
luckiest dead people who turn into ashes in the world.
Yep. These are deleted scenes, Wendy, but believe me, they made those scenes.
Yeah, no, they're in there. They're in there. Yeah. So that's how Infinity War, the last movie, left us.
Mm-hmm.
And now this new movie, Endgame, picks up at that point where the world is, you know, dealing with what just happened.
What happened? And the Avengers are depleted, right?
Wait a minute, I was just talking to you. Wait a minute, weren't you just here a second ago?
Right, now they're gone.
And what are these ashes flying around?
Yep.
And in addition to half the population, half of the Avengers are gone, and the Avengers that didn't die are having kind of like a survivor's guilt.
Yes.
They feel like they've not only they have let down the world, but they've let down the people who are closest to them, who were supposed to stop Thanos. And that's where this new movie.
Dean, I know you're a professional, and I know the last thing in the world you would do is tell us who survives and who does not, right. But other critics have not taken that stance.
I cannot tell you how shocked I was when I started reading some of the other, after I never read any reviews or anyone else's opinion before I write my review.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to taint my opinion. And I'm that shallow that I think that it might if I read someone else's view first. So after I read other people's, and I couldn't believe how much they were giving away. Like important, not only specifically who makes it, who doesn't make it, what's happened now in this next chapter, but specifically how it's happened. I mean, they give away like a lot of major plot points. So if you haven't seen this movie, don't read anything, because people who are, I guess, well-intentioned are giving away too much, and they're going to, you know, spoil it. Some people don't want to hear anything. I don't think I gave away anything in my review.
I'm still in the dark
of this yesterday. And some people said, you're saying too much. I don't want to know anything about the movie. Well, I won't have a job.
Well, here's a question or two that doesn't give anything away. What about people who have not seen all the Marvel movies? What do you need to have seen to understand and appreciate this movie?
Here's my
great question, Bill.
This is my only problem with this movie, which I think is a pretty perfect, mostly perfect movie. It's spectacular. The filmmaking is amazing. The story, it's got everything. All the action. It's got everything that you want in this movie. But unless you are a super Marvel fan, there are going to be times when you are lost in what's going on. Because in the Russo brothers, the director's effort to make this as complete as possible, not only a fitting ending to the Avengers trilogy, or more than trilogy, it's their fourth movie, but as the final chapter of all of these 21 movies now, these Marvel movies, you know, they were trying to do something which is a complete homage to the entire franchise, which I appreciate and I love, but one of my biggest pet peeves with movies and movies that are part of a franchise, whether it's all the Star Wars movies or all the Lord of the Rings movies or, you know, whatever it is, if you need information from another movie in order to understand the new movie, I got a problem with that. I think movies need to be self-contained.
Sure.
You will... If you haven't seen the other Marvel movies, if you haven't seen the other Avengers movies, you'll get this movie. You'll enjoy this movie, but not to the degree to which it was intended. You won't get the full satisfaction of
that's
it.
That's fair.
So you need to know what, you know, to answer your question, you need to know Iron Man's role and Thor's role and the Hulk. You need to know about all
what
of their
what about Freddie Mercury and Queen?
Freddie
what about them? Are they in this?
Queen.
I saw that one.
Wendy saw that she liked that one.
They will rock you. really all you need to know about them.
Do I have to see Thor Ragnarok in order to enjoy this?
You will appreciate it more because Thor Ragnarok actually was a pretty funny movie. And there is a sense of humor to the Thor character in this movie that harkens back to that.
Oh.
You'll get it. You'll still appreciate the new movie without it, but you'll like it even more if you understand the history. And that's what I think that's a little bit of a flaw. That, I mean, for the super fans,
it's great.
They're going to go berserk because yeah. they're going to get every nuance and every little reference and every little everything. Everyone else is there were times I've seen all of these movies. I've watched them. I haven't studied them. And,
yeah.
you know, can't you know, I've only seen them all once. I haven't gone back to see any of them. So I think I know the movies pretty well. And I pretty much understood the references. But there were people who were reacting to things that it's like, I have no idea.
You didn't know what it meant.
I don't know what they're laughing at. I don't know what they're referring to.
Dean, last weekend, I rewatched the Avengers Infinity Gauntlet, the first part of this movie, the new one that comes out tomorrow. And I have to say, I appreciated and enjoyed it more the second time. Mm. I liked it plenty the first time. But I don't know what happened the second time. I just got even more into it. I liked it yeah. even more last
well,
time.
Well, I think a lot of times when you see a movie multiple times, you see things that you didn't see the first
True.
Time because everything's coming at you so quickly.
Yeah.
I think that that may be, you know, the part of the deal. But here's what's interesting is that the AMC River East Theater, just blocks away from the where you guys are at the radio station,
yeah.
Since last Tuesday, they have been showing all 21
wow.
of the Marvel movies, and people have bought tickets to watch all 21 of the movies in a row.
Oh wow. My God, talk about theater ass.
They get a yeah. half an hour break.
Not enough.
In between, not enough, you're right. And that will conclude wow. today around 3:00, and then at 5:00, they go in to see the new movie. So they will have watched the entire 21 movie franchise.
That's ambitious.
Over the last couple of days, and then they're going to watch Endgame today.
How was the attendance? Sorry to interrupt you. I was just curious because it sounds pretty cool. If you're a fan, this would have been the way to do it,
right?
For the marathon.
Yeah,
there were a lot of people. There were, I don't know exact numbers, but when we saw Endgame at the AMC River East the other day, the lobby area was packed with people. They were in one of their half-hour breaks, and the lobby
man.
Area was, you know, loaded with people that had special credentials and lanyards that they were wearing
wow.
to say, you know, that they were part of this marathon, and they were out on a break. And, you know, if it were me, I might try to go freshen up a little bit.
Yes.
I might try to get a little bite to eat.
Sure, that's normal.
They are discussing the nuances of the movie that they just saw. I mean,
wow.
they are so into it. I sort of love it. It's
cute. I love nerds.
Yeah.
There, I said it.
Yeah.
I do.
I kind of love that they are so passionate about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you'd have to be.
I love it. So what I'm going to be doing tonight on the WGN News 4, 5, 6:00 and 9:00 tonight, I'm going to be live at the AMC River East Theater talking to these nerds as they
don't are, call them that.
No, I mean it in a nice way. I mean it in an affectionate way.
Right.
That as they're going in and as they're coming out to get their reaction to you know, see what the fans are. I understand already in line for the 6:00 screenings that are going to start tonight.
Dean, you know what scene I forgot about in Infinity Gauntlet that when I rewatched it, I really enjoyed is when the Hulk and Lady Gaga sing Shallow. I thought that was beautiful.
They have tremendous on camera chemistry.
They're not dating off camera, though, right?
It's rumored.
Hulk and Gaga?
It's rumored that they are. The only problem that I had with that, it's a beautiful moment until Hulk sits on the piano bench and breaks it.
He got mad.
That takes that took a little right. of the passion away.
That's true.
In the ruined shallow,
oh,
the shallow.
Oh, look at, here we go. I'm tearing up. All right, we'll take a quick break. Wendy just went to sleep.
She yeah, no, I just, you know.
Nerd talk.
Whatever.
We'll take
We're
going to
talk about Game of Thrones after the break, and then after that, we'll talk about Harry Potter.
And then we'll talk about girls.
No, you won't.
We won't. All right, more after this.
Girls.
Dean Richards on WGN.
We are chatting with Dean Richards.
That's a good tease.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dean.
That's a good tease.
I'm proud of that tease.
You're a good tease, Bill.
So thank you.
Sizzling.
Yeah.
We can't tell you about it right now.
I wish we could, but we legally cannot.
Yeah.
But
so Bill will get arrested.
Yep.
Bill told me off the air if I just see Avengers Infinity Wars before seeing Endgame, I should be okay.
Yeah, I think that's true,
all right,
too.
I will do that.
That's fair.
For you, too.
Oh, yep. Thank you.
I think that's a good idea. Somebody was just asking me here about that also, and I said the same thing. You'll like Endgame, but if you see Infinity War first, you'll love it.
You should also see with six, you get egg roll. Did you ever see that, Dean?
I have.
Yeah. You need to see that.
Wow.
I think I saw that.
Yeah. Well, you'll be fine then.
You suggested it before.
Yeah, you'll be all right then.
Yeah. And the disorderly orderly.
Right. And the Boatniks. See that also. Those are important movies to see. All right. Dean, several people pointing out that we were wrong about one thing, and that is that Thanos doesn't just destroy... In the
spoiler
first part,
alert.
Yeah, I guess spoiler alert.
No, for the but for
in
Infinity
the first
Wars?
Part, yeah, he takes away half of the Earth's population, but he does that throughout the galaxy, not just Earth.
Oh.
Right? But and that's true. We just didn't say that.
Yeah,
but
we don't
true.
Care about other planets.
Well... Not as much as Earth.
So do I have to see it now, or is that all I need to know?
No, it's the same.
You're fine.
It's the same thing. He destroys half of...
But you should also see Gidget, Wendy, before you see that.
Enough of you two. Really.
And Bikini Beach Party.
And Bikini Beach Party.
They go,
but
those
then
two
fine.
Go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Technically, that's true. Yeah. But what you see is pretty much what's happening on Earth, that half of the population, half of living things, not just...
Yeah.
Population, half of living things are
yeah. Like if you were a farmer, Wendy, half of your crops would be gone.
All right.
Now will you see it?
Sure.
Still not? No? All right.
I'm going with Orion.
Dean. Oh, you are?
Yes.
That would be fun.
I'm just going to sit in the row behind you just so I can watch
that. Would be a lot of fun.
Pass me the popcorn.
Pass the... Would you care for another chocolate-covered pork belly?
Why, yes.
That's the way to enjoy a movie. Dean, do other movie companies, when a movie's coming out that's this big, do they even bother? Do they even throw out competition? They don't, do they?
Well, one foolishly did this weekend. It is a movie that's called Red Joan. And I don't really know anything about it. I know it's an indie.
Yeah.
That's all that I know about it. I think it may have been that period when Joan Rivers lived in Moscow
right.
for a little while.
As in her communistic days.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the commie days.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that movie, but that's the only movie that's
Would it shock you if Red Joan outlasted...
Was number one.
Yeah, if it beat the Avengers. Would that shock
and
you?
In a shocking turn of events... They're saying that Avengers Endgame could make $1 billion worldwide this weekend.
That's impressive.
It is. I mean, literally, if you don't have tickets to see it this weekend, you are probably not going to go see it this weekend unless you go at 3 o'clock in the morning. And some theaters are running it back to back 24 hours a day through the weekend for a little while to accommodate that. But screenings have been sold out for weeks. It's been record-breaking pre-sales. For this, so that could still happen. But, I mean, there's that Curse of La Llorona, the horror movie that was
did real well
last week.
Right.
It's not. Oh. But people like horror movies. It's not my genre. That's out there right now. Hellboy's out there. Shazam actually is really
did well.
Is really
Gomer Pyle remake?
Still,
no, not yes. Gomer Pyle. Oh, it is Gomer Pyle.
It's a musical about the life of Jim Neighbors. Oh, I gave it away.
Oh, Dean.
I got to stop with my spoilers.
Dean, now does the Avengers open? Because sometimes now with some of these big movies, they'll open them in other foreign markets first a week or so earlier. Is Avengers opening simultaneously everywhere?
I think it's opening simultaneously everywhere. It is not opened elsewhere in the U.S., anywhere else in the world yet. So it's going to be, I think, as early as I can tell, 5 o'clock today is the first public screening for today. And it's for those people. The 5 o'clock screening is for the people who have watched the 21 other movies. So that theater is going to smell really good.
They're also doing this thing where, and I know anytime you're promoting a movie, you want to get your stars in your movies on the late night talk shows, but I don't think I've seen a late night talk show in the last two weeks where at least one and sometimes all of the Avengers aren't the guests.
Yeah, they've split them up and sent them all out to be on their do their missions. Brie Larson, who is great in Endgame, was on Jimmy Fallon last night, and she was actually, I'm not a Jimmy Fallon fan at all, but she actually was kind of funny on there last night. But they've all been on. Robert Downey's been on, and Chris Hemsworth has been hilariously funny. Did you see that they did their handprints in the cement?
Yeah. At Grauman's, or whatever they call it now?
At the Chinese theater. And that Chris Hemsworth, I don't know if he did this on purpose or not, misspelled his name.
He did?
He wrote Chris Hemsworth, but he left the T out of Hemsworth.
What was behind that?
I don't know.
His name wrong?
I don't know if he did it on purpose as a joke, or he just forgot how to spell his name.
That's hysterical. And Dean, I'm sure you've seen this clip, but it's really funny. It's all over online. They're showing, what's the guy's name who plays the Hulk? I'm blanking on his
Mark
name.
Ruffalo?
Mark Ruffalo. Yep. They show Mark Ruffalo a scene from 13 Going on 30.
Yeah.
That he made years and years ago, and Brie Larson, his co-star in this movie, was in it when she was like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, she had a very minor role, and Mark Ruffalo didn't realize that she was also in that movie.
Yeah.
In which Ruffalo co-starred with Jennifer Garner. It's a cute little...
it's a fun movie.
Nice little romantic comedy.
Yeah.
But he never knew that Brie Larson was actually in the film. So when he found out, Ruffalo's reactions to most everything crack me up.
Right. He's very expressive.
He's like a big, lovable goofball.
Yeah.
Where he goes on talk shows and things like that, and he just seems to be so genuinely...
he likes to have
fun. Bemused by the fact that he didn't know that Brie Larson was in the movie. But my favorite was, I forget what show they were on, and he accidentally gave away... A couple of major
plot points
really? in the movie, and he was with Don Cheadle and somebody else, and Don Cheadle is like, "Hey man, you can't say that."
That's so funny.
You can't say that. And it turned out what happened after that was that the Russo brothers, Anthony and Joe Russo, put a card together that the only things that Mark should only talk about. Don't talk about anything other than these
points.
Oh, that's
great. That's
so
funny.
They gave him some notes so he wouldn't do any spoilers anywhere else.
David Jennings has something real quick, David.
Yeah, listen, Dean, there have now been at least two instances of folks who have recorded the movie in theater.
Uh-oh.
And they're online already.
Bootlegs, I hate that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just go see it. The sound quality's bad.
One of them was done in China, and the other one, from what I'm gathering,
Elmhurst.
Has been sponsored by a Russian-based betting company.
Oh, a what?
Yeah.
B-E-T-T-I-N-G or B-E-D-D-I-N-G?
B-E-T-T-I-N-G.
I thought it was like the Moscow mattress firm.
Right. What do they get out of this? Dean, thanks very much for joining us. We're all excited. Most of us are excited to see the Avengers.
Yeah, have a fun time watching. I think everybody's really good. I loved it so much.
Can't wait.
Everyone's real quick, somebody's talking about going to the bathroom before the movie because it's so long.
Yes.
Should families with kids just wait a week to not ruin the experience for others?
Yeah, maybe not a terrible idea.
All right.
I got a Hawkeye catheter, Dean, that I'm bringing in with
me. That's also a good idea.
Hawkeye Pierce?
Yeah.
No, Hawkeye
that's
from
weird.
Avengers.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Yeah, it's brand loyalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
the
selling them. You can get them when you get your popcorn and your Milk Duds.
It's not like a bad idea.
I'd like a Coke, a popcorn, some Milk Duds, and a Hawkeye catheter,
yeah,
please.
It's a package
You can
deal.
Buy them right at the concession stands now.
Thank you, Dean.
See ya.
Have a good weekend. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And you know what? Coming up, the stories that matter with David Jennings. He is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.